Well, good morning. We're so glad that you're here. It is really a privilege to be here together and to be in the presence of our God together. So let's continue to worship together.
Same God that never fails will not fail me now. It won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes. The only one who could ever save.
out to him.
You.
Let us pray together. Holy God, you're a perfect God, a loving God. You are that kind of still point in the chaos of life and of faith. And in your perfection, you don't stay far away, just the opposite. You come very close to us, very caring to us. You call to us, you whisper in our ear all that you've made in each one of us. And you whisper mercy, trust, hope. What we need today is more of you. You are beyond the good of a Heavenly Father. And if the Heavenly Father, like the earthly father, desires to give good gifts, what great and eternal gifts you give to us. And the more we focus on you, the more we realize that, well, we're not perfect. That there are things as we look back over the last week, things we noted at the end of the day during the week that, well, if we had to do it over again, we'd do it differently. And you give us second chances. You give us fresh starts and new beginnings. You don't hold our lapses of holding you number one against us. For at times our own ego pushes itself into, well, that number one spot that you and you alone deserve. And we're thankful that you've chosen us, put us in your family. We pray today for those that are fighting fires, have been dealt the ravages of this fire, their homes, their businesses, those that have lost their lives, those that have family members who have lost a life. And that added to all that we have been dealing with, again, the continuation of this COVID virus. We pray for those on the front line. We pray for those that are ill and need healing, that your healing hand would be upon them. As we come to you, we feel a sense of unity with you, and therefore a sense of unity with those around us. And together, we're standing up and moving forward. Help us keep our eyes upon you, upon your plan and your purpose in our life. As we lift you up today, Lord, and worship, lift us up and help us to feel your presence and your power. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, wave to those around you. Give them a virtual high five. I have a few announcements to give you. Please check the website. There is very up-to-date information for you on the website, and we're striving to keep that up to speed on a day-to-day basis. So a few things I want to remind you about is that the Tuesday morning Bible study will begin this Tuesday. We're in the book of Exodus. Dave Dombrowski and I teach that together, and I know you'll have a good time being with one another. Here's the thing to give you a heads up on. You need to bring your own donut and your own coffee, because we're not doing coffee and donuts anymore in terms of a group event. But you can bring your donut and your coffee and come be a part of that. I also want you to know that Power Hour, our kids' Sunday school program, is beginning today. We've figured out how to have children on campus. We have something going on for preschoolers all the way to the fifth grade. Tuesday, we're doing two things, one right after the other. The first is we're offering tutoring for kindergarten through fifth graders. And that will be from 1 to 3, and that will be in Geneva Hall. And then following that, they'll have the regular midweek program, EPIC, and that will run from 3 to 4:30 again, kindergarten to fifth grade. So we could use a few more people willing to tutor. Is that right, Rick?
We definitely can. We got a lot going on. This is great.
So if you'd like to tutor some children in a subject, we'd love to have you do that, and we'll be providing the space for that to happen.
Great. And I want to carry on a few other things that are going on this week. As you know, today is our fall series kickoff, Deep Faith, and it is a small group-based study as well as a message series. Our small groups are going through that. They're going to be starting up. A lot of them have taken breaks during the summer, and they're going to be using that as their curriculum for the next several weeks. So if you'd like to get in on that and you're not in a small group, you can connect on the church website. You can call the church office, and we will work to get you in a group. We've got several groups that want to add people. A couple of the things that are, as you know, we're starting a lot of things this week, and I'm just going to highlight them briefly. Heart to Heart begins on Tuesday morning with the kickoff. There are books being sold today after each of the services, and you can also pick it up during the week in the office. As well as that, we've got Chase, which begins on Friday. Both Heart to Heart and Chase are going to be hybrid, meaning we're going to have people that are going to meet on campus, as well as during the exact same time, watch it and participate live on Zoom. So there's no real reason, even if you're kind of immune compromised or things like that, that you can't be part of those. There's ways to do that, either here in person or that way. In addition, men's is also going to be ramping up a new study called 7, something we did last year. We started, we had a few times we met, and then COVID shut us down. We're going to restart that next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. from 9 to 10. And if you participated before and you want to get back in, or if you're interested in that, there's ways to sign up. You can go to the church website under Bible Studies and email me, and I'll get you on the Zoom list, or you can also come in person. So a lot of fun bringing things to multiple levels this fall with the reality that we face, and we are going to press on and really go forward. So next Sunday, I begin a class called The Christians Who Made History, The Great Awakenings, which is a study on how revival has happened in America through the course of history. If you've been paying attention to the news, there's a lot of things going on with people coming out and having worship rallies and things like that. A lot of stuff's going on in the country. Of course, we know a lot of stuff's going on in the country, but the church is starting to do things that are very similar to what the Great Awakenings were. And we really want to study that. We want to learn more about what happened in the past. Maybe we can apply some of it to now, see how God really wakens up his people to challenge us. This is a good time, even though it's a hard time. God uses hard times in our lives. And so we invite you to join us over there at 10:15 or 11:15 in the adult portables, or on Zoom at 10:15. And you can sign up at Adult Sunday Seminars. Of course, all this because we don't have paper. You got to do a lot on the website. If you get confused, just call the church office. Now, final new class that is going to be starting this week. It's a new format that we have really put together because of Alpha last year. On Wednesday nights, we started Alpha Online last April and had a really great group. Over 60 people signed up for Alpha Online. And we were going to just go 10 weeks, and it was so... engaging. We actually went 15 weeks with Alpha last year. So I thought the time slot was great. We're going to relaunch Wednesday night online, and our first course is going to be a series called God Space. And I've got a short video to tell you about what that's about.
Hi, my name is Doug Pollack, and I've given my life to help guiding God's people into outward-focused living, to help facilitate people on the journey. I've written a book called God Space, which people often tell me really inspires the desire to begin to think about what it would look like to live an outwardly focused life. Accompanying that book is a resource called Activating God Space. Through the video clips and the interactions with an audience, you're going to find lots of tools there to help people move into transformation, where people actually begin to see changes in their life. And this is a great way, I think, to actually begin to look at changing the culture in your faith community.
If you're interested in that, just go to the menu, look for under Growing Wednesday Night Online, and you can sign up for that. Well, this is an interesting week. Every single year in our church, we always have a fall celebration, a fall kickoff, and a new series. But this particular September is a unique one for many reasons. But one of them is that 25 years ago, Scott and Claire came to SQUIM.
That's awesome.
At the time, there was one service over in the other building. This area we're standing in right now was a field full of cows. And it wasn't until 2001 that the ground was broken. And in just 1 year, this building was built. Scott and Claire came with their two boys, young boys. Grace wasn't even born yet. You know, this is amazing. You guys had Grace while you were here in SQUIM. And there have been 25 years of faithful service to this church. And we really appreciate it. So many things that you have both been involved in. As you know, Scott took a church that was having one service, and we've moved to three large services and have grown this church numbers-wise and also spiritually through these years. Claire has worked in the elementary school area as well as a real estate agent now. Has served this church in so many different ways, from the early days teaching middle school to being involved in couples ministry, leading Heart to Heart for 10 years. And it's been a really great ride. Really thankful. Claire's passed the baton this year, and we really want to thank you for all that you've brought to that ministry and the growth that has come about. You guys are both growth makers. It's fantastic. So we just really appreciate everything you've done in terms of leadership in this church, in terms of bringing us forward in really great ways. And a little bit to show our appreciation, I want Christy, can you come up? Christy's going to bring you, we're going to do it through the partitions here. You come over in the middle. Yeah, so we've got, it's all 10. All right. This is Scott, 25 years at SEC, wow, you know? And let me give you this here, and thank you, Claire. And we got, this is, if you don't, the camera, I don't know if the camera's on down there. Turn around, Bev. Bev, turn around. This is Bev Peterson. She was here when Scott and Claire first came as a member of the church. So it's great to have you. Thank you for bringing those flowers, Bev. And you guys, this is as a gift to you from the leadership of the church, from some of the people in your ministry, Claire. We want to have you guys just, you know, celebrate a little bit, enjoy that. I know you can open it later. We've got to do this two more times, so don't open it right now.
Wait, I'll give it back to you, and then give it to me.
But we really we want to bless you as a church family, and bless you as church leadership, and really thank you both for your service to this church. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Wow. Okay. Let's go to the scriptures. A good friend, Cindy Stevenson, who's in the Southeast, is reading our scripture passage for today.
Good morning. Our scripture today comes from the New Living Translation. I will be reading from Numbers 13, 25 through 30. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. Here's what they reported to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. It is flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there, they are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan Valley. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it.
As you can tell, she is from Alabama, and the Crimson Tide is rolling even as we speak. So, Faith, I think today is a great day for us to gather up our faith in a very deep way. I believe we need deep faith because we're in life very deeply, aren't we? In fact, right now there is so much life. I believe we're frustrated. We're a little angry. We're losing hope about things changing fast enough for us. And I believe that as the world becomes more of a challenge, when there's more happening, things seem to be in conflict with one another, things seem to be broken, things seem to be in more pieces than we can put together ourselves. And so I believe that we need to deepen our faith, and we need to deepen our faith now. And in deepening our faith, I believe that we will find the sense of hope, the sense of purpose, the leading on how to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. Those can all be ours as we deepen our faith. As we look at the scriptures and not only read them and study them, but grapple with the truth of the scripture in our own mind, heart, and soul. And so that's our goal. Our goal is to deepen our faith. That means we're going to talk about some deep issues, some very personal issues, some issues and topics that are very central to who we are in relationship to God, who we are in relationship to one another, and who we are in relationship to the world that we live in. Today we're going to jump off in Numbers. We're going to look at the spies going into the promised land. We can learn a lot about having a deep faith from them. Deep faith is not about hoping that something will go on. Deep faith is not about negotiating with God about what's going to take place. But it is about having a faith that sees beyond the moment. Here's Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The gospel shows us how God makes people right with himself. And it begins and ends with what? With faith. Faith in God. A realization that we hope for things that we can't see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What is faith? Being certain of things we do not see. And we're having trouble seeing literally today, aren't we? We have trouble seeing beyond COVID, beyond the conflict that's taking place, city to city. We have trouble looking down the way and looking with an idea that we're hopeful that things will be better, that things will be learned, that we will move forward together. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see the wonderful future God has promised to those he has called. Paul reminds us that faith points us to the hope, to the good things that God has in store for us up ahead. The wonderful future that God has for us. A great example of that are the spies chosen to go to the promised land out of Numbers 13 and 14. And I know that's a story you know. They pick one spy from every tribe and then send them out to do a reconnaissance mission, scout out what the promised land is going to be like, so they will know how to come and occupy the promised land. So they go and they are overwhelmed by what they see, and when they come back, they give a report that is not encouraging. It's not filled with hope. It's not visualizing the unseen that God is calling them to. But they're stuck a little bit on the reality, the elements of what the promised land has, both in the positive and then those things that strike fear in them. How do you respond in this day and age to the crisis we are all facing? Are you endeavoring to face those realities with a sense of faith or a sense of fear? And my observation is if we don't have faith, what takes over is fear and pessimism. And instead of adding to in a positive way, the additions are very negative. Because fear really doesn't drive us the vast majority of the time in a positive direction, in a positive way. So let's look at our spies going into the promised land. What do we learn about living our life when we're fearful instead of faithful? Number one, it causes us to exaggerate the problems that we have. Now, we exaggerate the problems we have, but I have to also say the media helps us with that, don't they? Things seem a lot larger than they may be in reality. Well, here's our spies. Numbers 13, 27, and 28. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land, and it is indeed bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. But the people living there are very powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants. Well, the land is full of milk and honey. Yet going and possessing the land is not going to be simple. Large cities, fortified cities, and great warriors. And oftentimes, as God calls us to something, we're able to see all the problems with it and not the potential in it, not the possibility in it. And I'm like you, if I have to think about it for very long, I start fretting. And when I start fretting and worrying and getting stressed out, the problem gets bigger and bigger. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. The second thing big problems do is it makes us underestimate our ability to deal with them. Verse 33, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Well, these giant people in fortified cities, they looked at a few scouts coming across the border to see who they are and what they were all about. And they began to feel inept, unable to take on this challenge. And the reason they did is they were just looking at themselves, and they really weren't looking at God. What could be accomplished if God was added into our lives? Even though we can't see up ahead, knowing that if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Most of us face a giant in life or two. And we're facing a very large circumstance in our world and in our country. But in addition to that, we have our own personal giants we face. Things that seem too large. And when they seem large and they're challenging, we feel like little grasshoppers. You know what you use a grasshopper for? Bait. When you go fishing. And here we learn that there isn't a problem large enough that it's too large for God, even though it may seem too large for us. And God has given us abilities and ways to stand up to the giants in our world, the giants in our life, but we belittle the talent, ability, and presence and power of God that we do have. And we focus more on our inability than God's ability. A third thing that happens once we think we're too small for something is we become very discouraged. And I see discouragement more and more as I make my way about our city. As I talk with people, as we gather together, people are frustrated. People are discouraged. How much longer is this going to go on? No one knows. There is not an answer to that question right now, and it makes us discouraged. Look at the spies. Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. They were so disturbed by the spy's report that now they're giving up hope. They're discouraged. All they can see is the giants are walking through their dreams, their nightmare. And they've come all this way from slavery in Egypt for this. And they're not only a little perplexed, but this giant has made an impact at the core of who they are. Both individually and corporately as the people of Israel. It's true when we think something's too big of a giant and we think we don't have what it takes to stand up to that giant, it becomes very discouraging. And if you're like me, then you begin to whine and complain. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Go after those leaders, by the way. Isn't that how it always happens? We wish we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. That the despair is taking over, isn't it? They're discouraged and now they're complaining. Now they're whining. Now they're upset. They see no future. They see no hope up ahead. And notice it's just not a few people who are having a hard time with this. The vast majority of the people are having a very difficult time with this. And so at the end of the day, what finally happens? People give up and they start blaming God. This is never going to happen. We're never going to live through this. And God, it's you that has brought this giant to me. You are the one that has brought this giant to our city, our county, our country, our world. By the way, always be very cautious to link something evil with God. God does not cause evil. Being evil is not one of the characters and nature of God. And so slow down a little bit when we want to blame God for what we're facing. As a giant out there in our world, or the giant that resides within my own mind and in my own life. And that's not to say it's not a giant. It's not to say that it's not overwhelming. We know we're to the end of our own human aspiration to change something when we start complaining and we finally begin blaming God. Why is the Lord bringing us to the land to kill us with a sword? We'd be better off going back to Egypt. Really? Back to slavery? That's better than being out in the desert, being on the edge of the promised land? And we can understand their frustration. Sometimes we're in the same place in our life, particularly when we've lost a loved one. Or we've lost a dream, or we missed an opportunity. Eventually, in our grief, we will be mad at God. But what does God do when we shake our fist at Him? He reminds us that He's here to help. That He has divine, eternal resources. That I have brought you here to enjoy the milk and the honey, and let me deal with the giants. Let me direct you there. How do the spies carry on a conversation that's not full of fear, but full of faith? And that's right where they are. Do we have enough faith to go across the river and take the promised land? And all the spies say, no way except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And instead of moving into the promised land, what happens to them? Yeah, they go wander around in the desert for a long time. And may I ask you this morning, has the giants around us, or the giant in you, is it causing you to lose hope? Is it causing you to feel afraid? Well, if it is, you're not alone. Caleb and Joshua say, if the Lord calls us to it, we will win. We will be victorious. That's even echoed in the New Testament. Jesus says that I've overcome everything in this world. I've overcome it all, and I help you overcome it all. I prefer to have small giants in my life. Small, puny giants in my life. But we don't always get to choose our giants, do we? And by definition, they're more than we can handle on our own. And it's right in that moment of admitting we can't do it on our own that God comes and changes our perspective. Faith is seeing our life the way that God sees our life. How does God see our life? Number one, God sees our life in such a way that faith shrinks the giants. It makes them smaller. For nothing is impossible for God. For our God, for our Almighty God. Job 16:4 says that God will be faithful to us, and therefore He's Almighty. You don't have to fear anything. And if we don't have to fear death, the greatest fear of all human beings, isn't it very possible that everything is possible for God? That nothing, even the giants that we face or that we face personally, that God isn't bigger than that, more powerful than that, has a plan that is greater than that, that cannot and will not be thwarted. He's the one that boundaries history, Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And it's true for all of history, and it's true for all of our history as Christians. So allow God's vantage point, His eternal vantage point, His almighty vantage point, let that inform you, and it will shrink your giants. It'll shrink your problems. God also wants to release our faith, and He wants to move on our behalf. God is not idle in all of this. God is very active. We just can't see His activity all the time. That's why we need faith, to see what is yet to come, knowing and hoping that it will come. And the same is true. God is on the move for us. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done for you. According to your faith. And it's true. It's our emotions rise and fall on our faith. Don't they? We have waves of hope and waves of distrust. Waves of assurance, and then other waves of, well, just disorientation, disappointment. And God says, no, it will be by your faith that it's done. And when you have a giant that you can't take on your own, you know you're going to need some faith. And a faith that calls upon the resources, the supernatural resources, the divine resources, the eternal resources that God has at His disposal, that He wants to bring to a moment and bless you. And bless you. And bless us. Faith allows the 7,000 promises in the Bible to be activated on our personal behalf. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. We used to say they're like blank checks that you get to fill your name in on. That doesn't work with 20 and 30-year-olds anymore. They don't know what a check is. So it's a prepaid credit card, debit card for you. And God has these promises, and he wants to enact them in our lives. And what we need to do is we need to grab a hold of those promises and pray those promises so that God will bless us in a particular way. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. We don't have to worry about whether God is going to keep his promise. He's trustworthy. He's a promise keeper. And as he promises to us, he will do. He will respond. He will bless us. He will bring resources. So it's good to know those promises. Grab a hold of those promises personally. Because they tell God exactly where you need to be blessed. How you are able to be a blessing to other people. And then finally, faith gives us the power to hang in there and hang on when we don't feel like we can do it any longer. Here's Paul's story. We were pressed on every side by troubles. We were crushed, but we were not broken. We're perplexed by, but didn't give up and quit. We were attacked, but God never abandoned us. We got knocked down, but we were not knocked out. We get up and we keep going on. Paul says that in our faith, we need to practice resilience. We have to practice resilience. And that's what this series of messages, Deep Faith, is really all about, practicing our faith. Because the more we practice our faith, the more we know that the pressures and the knockdowns, they're only temporary. I love the phrase, if you're getting to the end of your rope, stop and tie a knot. You can hang on to a rope 20 times longer if you have a knot in the bottom of it. And maybe today, given the giants that you're seeing afar and the giants that reside within you, maybe you feel as though you can't hang on any longer. Let the power of God put a knot in your rope today. Give you something to hang on today. Remind you today that, man, he loves you. He loves you, and he does have a good plan for you and for me. In spite of the giants, in spite of some bad reports, in spite of the fact that things look to be good over there, but right now I can't see how I'm going to get from here to there. Well, God has given us his Holy Spirit, and he will lead us. Let's pray together. Father, you know we have a tendency to make things seem larger than they are. And they are larger in our own minds. And that gets us doubting who we are and our own abilities. And then that leads to discouragement. That discouragement leads to complaining. And finally, we find ourselves just throwing our hands in the air, giving up and saying to you, why have you brought this upon me? And once we've articulated that, we're ready to listen to you and to hear from you that you've got this. That your an almighty God, and we have no reason to fear. And help us today, Lord, to choose not to see everything and respond to everything with fear, but see the fact that you're real, you're active, you are bringing blessing, you are allowing us to be a blessing to others in all that is taking place. Father, through your Holy Spirit today, help us to hang on when things are really tough. Thank you for putting a knot at the end of our rope. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.